We've been mentioning government shutdown for months now.
But we got the guy this morning. Who knows?
Right.
We got the guy.
Yeah.
Oh,
who's been through the government shutdown.
Who knows
before.
The levers, where the bodies are buried, the whole thing.
You know, before this.
Right here. Stay right here, folks.
Before this, we've kind of stayed out of the government shutdown as a kind
process.
Of realistic
yeah.
Actual idea.
Don't come into work kind of thing.
Right. But yeah. Now it's gotten so far that Dad has gotten angry.
There's some things that we can't control. We can't control earthquakes. We can't control tsunamis. We can't control uprisings on the other side of the world. What we can control is our capacity to have a reasoned, fair conversation between the parties and get the business of the American people done. And that's what I expect.
That is an audibly unhappy President Obama speaking to the press yesterday. Todd Zwillick, our Washington correspondent. Todd, I know you were there during all of these back and forths yesterday. What is holding up the budget at this point?
Yeah, well, that statement from the president after the meeting with Boehner and Reid in the Oval Office yesterday. John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, wants bigger cuts. He's under some pressure from the Tea Party. Listen to Boehner yesterday after that meeting talking to the press about what he wants out of this thing.
We've made clear that we're fighting for the largest spending cuts possible. We're talking about real spending cuts here, no smoke and mirrors. We've also made clear that there was never an agreement at $33 billion.
Now, that's important, Celeste, because at that meeting with the White House, John Boehner took $33 billion off the table, or at least said he wants more. He says he wants something closer to $40 billion. He is still under pressure from the right. He is under pressure from the Tea Party. And this was Harry Reid's response to moving from $33 billion to $40 billion. Listen to Reid here.
I mean, it seems that every step we take, it's something just to poke us in the eye. They're not trying to arrive at the finish line. It appears that they're going to do everything they can to satisfy the Tea Party.
Now, Reid and Boehner went back into a meeting at 4 o'clock yesterday. When they came out, both offices said the same thing. They said the meeting was productive, but nobody would define what productive was or why it was productive. They just kind of said, shrug, and that's where we are. Shutdown is looking more and more likely, Celeste.
Easy for them to say.
Right? Todd Zwillick, Washington correspondent. Todd will be obviously still in Washington following all this as it moves forward, perhaps closer to a shutdown. There's still time, we should say, to get a stopgap measure
right.
in.
Congress can, in a sense, do anything they want.
That's right. The question is, will they? And right. it seems increasingly likely that they won't. Joining us now is the guy you were talking
right.
about. If you want to talk
he
about
knows.
Shutdowns, you got to talk to James Miller III. He was the director of the Office of Management and Budget from 1985 to 1998. Why are those dates important? Well, that's because the government shut down in that time. He actually worked through government shutdowns during the 80s, and he's author of the book Fix the U.S. Budget, Urgings of an Abominable No Man. Good morning, Jim.
How are you?
You know, we only really had one true government shutdown, and that was under Clinton. The two under Reagan and then the one under George Bush the first were very short. So, I mean, we don't really know a lot about the way shutdowns work.
Well, they work in a fairly straightforward manner, but they last a very, very short time. The reason is, of course, the additional pressure on Congress and the president to do something and resolve the matter. I think the effects of a shutdown are overestimated. Keep in mind that really the essential services continue. It's only the so-called non-essential services that are shut down. Everyone knows that you go home, but you'll probably be back at work the next day. But non-essential services are shut down.
We're talking about non-essential services. The Environmental Protection Agency stops
sure,
cleaning up.
The Environmental Protection Agency, the Department of Commerce, the Department of Agriculture, things of this nature. But the Department of Defense continues to work. The policemen continue to work. The air traffic controllers continue to work. Those essential employees, essential for the public safety, continue to go forward. It's a very complicated matter to draw the line. The Department of Justice, the Attorneys General over the years have perfected the list of what gets
can
closed
and
down and
what can't.
Yeah, what
but
stays
Jim,
open. And actually, what happens is when the appropriations expire at midnight, The attorney generals have opined that you actually keep the government running until 2 p.m. the next day.
I love that.
It's only at 2 p.m. if the Congress and the president don't act that you actually send people home.
And when you, in 1987, when you were leading up to a shutdown there, maybe that you can tell that story of how that happened and help us explain what's going on in the minds of the politicians in Washington now.
Well, the politicians and the people in the administration get all upset and riled up about it, et cetera. I remember being in President Reagan's Oval Office, and I was so concerned because the Congress refused to send him a budget without a tax increase. And he said, I'll veto any budget with a tax increase in it. And I was so frustrated because they sent him one with a tax increase in it. And I was pacing up and down in the Oval Office, worried about this. And finally, the president just reached out and he put his arm around my shoulder and said, Jim, just settle down. Let's close her down and see if anybody notices. And now that was a perspective that I think most people had.
Well,
you know,
Jim, then fast forward to today. You know, we're talking to James Miller III, who was director of Office and Management and Budget during those Reagan years. Do you think the Tea Party, people like Eric Cantor, some of the folks who are playing the brinksmanship game, and even on the Democratic side, are less concerned about a government shutdown in this era? Shut her down.
I think the stakes are much higher. It's not just the Tea Party. It's, I believe, a very substantial portion of the American people think we've been spending too much. And the amount asked for cutting back the $61 billion or $66 billion is only a small fraction of the total spending. It was a much bigger fraction. $66 billion was a much bigger fraction when President Reagan was in office. And on the other hand, you know, the president and some of his colleagues think that the spending that has already been appropriated should remain. And the stakes are very, very high, and that's the reason you've got this standoff. And I suspect if there's a shutdown, it may actually last a little bit longer. And I mean by that a couple of days or 3 days rather than, you know, a few hours or for one day. So, but that's the reason that that the voices are very shrill right now, because the stakes are very high.
Well, according to the Clinton's experts, the six-day shutdown under his administration cost $800 million. That's James Miller III. He was the director of Office of Management and Budget from 1985 to 88, and he wrote the book Fix the U.S. Budget, Urgings of an Abominable No Man. We have a question for you. If we get a government shutdown, who do you hold accountable? Who do you blame and why? We get an answer from Rusty, who says, we the people. Time to stop blaming everyone else. Tom in Brooklyn wrote, the GOP and the teabagger wackos who are holding the whole process hostage with their ideology. Look, that's Tom. That's not me. Jeremy posts, the middle of America is to blame for their complacency, ineptitude, and stupidity. Sorry, folks, but get it together. Give us your take.
It's just not the kind of discourse that's going to keep our government going.
You sound like Obama.
We need to be mature Americans.
First time I've ever said that. And like, join the conversation at our Facebook page, facebook.com/thetakeaway, or you can always just call us 877-8. My take.
Saying I'm immature?
You say the president is immature?
No. The president is calling for maturity.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm very presidential this morning.
Correct.
Gravitas.
Yes.
It's about the first time she's ever said anything like that.
That's true. That is the first time.
Roll the stinger, Jay.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.